and welcome to the MJA podcast. My name is Kate Swanell, and I am the MJA's news and online editor. Today, we're talking about total knee replacement, specifically the value of inpatient rehabilitation. My guest is Dr. Chris Schilling, who is a health economist and associate director of KPMG Australia. He and his colleagues have used Medibank claims data to tease out some interesting facts on inpatient rehab rates and why there is such variation from hospital to hospital. Welcome to the pod, Chris. Why did this research need doing? Was there a gap in the knowledge that needed filling?
Yeah, well, what we saw, what the evidence had showed, was that there was really large variation in inpatient rehabilitation rates across hospitals. But what we didn't understand was why that was the case. And so what we tried to do with this research was to uncover if the variation was due to patient factors or not,
yes,
or if it was due to other factors such as hospital or other provider factors.
So tell us a little bit about the design of the study. How did you set about answering the questions that you wanted to ask?
We utilised a large data set from Medibank, identified over 35,000 total knee replacement admissions in the Australian private hospital setting, and we use some relatively complex econometrics to try and tease out the different contributions that hospitals were making, that clinicians were making, that patient factors were making.
So what were your major findings, and did they surprise you?
Our major findings were that when we looked at the variation across hospitals, that it really wasn't driven by patient factors. So after we adjusted inpatient rehabilitation rate for patient factors, it really didn't make much of a difference. And so that was suggesting then that hospital and clinician factors were really important in driving the inpatient rehabilitation decision.
Right.
When we quantified it specifically, we actually found that hospital factors were really the most important factor in driving that decision. And that was surprising to us. So ideally, if we're looking at our perfect healthcare system, models of care across Australia would be really consistent and they'd be driven by patient need. So we do expect to see variation, but we expect to see it as a result of patient need rather than other factors. And so that's why this result was surprising to us.
So when you say hospital factors, what kind of things do you mean?
Yeah, it's a good question. So our study actually wasn't able to uncover any details into those hospital factors.
Okay.
But we were able to look into this, you know, and adjust for specific hospitals. And hospitals have a range of reasons and a range of factors that might lead them to have different rates of inpatient rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
Their location, whether they're in a major city or a rural area, their size. There's a whole range of factors that might go into why a hospital makes certain decisions around inpatient rehabilitation.
Does the public v private play into that?
Well, it does, and that's an interesting point that you raise. So when we look at public hospitals, we see an inpatient rehabilitation rate after total knee replacement of around 17%, whereas that rate in the private setting is 45%.
Wow.
So there's a huge, huge gap there.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was also one of the reasons that we really wanted to investigate what was driving this difference.
Do you think people still believe that if they're paying for something, it must be better?
I think that's true. And I think expectations really matter. So some work that's been done at St Vincent's has shown that really strongly, that if you tell a patient prior to surgery, prior to their knee replacement, that they'll be going to inpatient rehabilitation after surgery,
then
that sets that level of expectation.
Yes.
If they don't go, then there's a level of dissatisfaction from that. What we suggest as a result of our study is that, you know, there can be improved guidelines up front that really help to understand or help clinicians and patients alike to understand who are the best candidate for home and community-based rehabilitation. Because if we can deliver those services there, then there's a huge cost saving from doing so. And the latest evidence suggests that for a majority of patients, the outcomes are just as good.
In your paper, you talk about the possibility that inpatient rehab might be low-value care. What do you mean by that, and how should that affect what we offer patients?
It's a great question. So when we talk about inpatient rehabilitation being low-value care, we're not suggesting that it's not adding value, and it clearly does. So patients who utilise inpatient rehabilitation do see benefits from doing so.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have seen is that patients can also, or many patients can achieve those gains in a community-based or home-based setting for a much, much lower cost. And so that's why delivering it in an inpatient setting can be low-value care. And particularly back to our study, when we looked at the variation, we found that the variation really wasn't due to any patient factors. If it's not a patient factor that's driving a hospital that has a really high rate of inpatient rehabilitation, then, you know, it leads us to suggest that a large proportion of that can really be or could be delivered in a community and home-based setting at a much lower cost.
I'm chatting today with Dr. Chris Schilling, who is a health economist, and we're talking about recovering from total knee replacement. Chris's co-authored research is available at mja.com.au, where, like all our research papers, it is open access. What would you like to see in practical terms come out of this research, Chris?
First of all, we want to make sure that there is a focus on inpatient rehabilitation rate, because they've been increasing in Australia. In 2009, the rate was around 31% in private settings, and it's increased to 45% in 2016. And this is really contrary to what we see in other parts of the world, like North America. And so we're really interested to understand why that's going on, and just to shed a bit of light on it, because, as I've mentioned, some of the research by some a whole range of researchers, physiotherapist researchers, have shown that community and home-based setting can be just as effective for patients, but can deliver that care at a really much lower cost. So when I take a step back as a health economist, put that hat on, that's really what we need to be pushing towards from a system level, is delivering good care and delivering good outcomes, but doing so in a cost-effective manner.
If you had a magic wand, what would you wave it over?
I'd probably suggest a few things. So we've really, some previous literature and research has found that clearer guidelines around who should receive inpatient rehabilitation can be really helpful. I mean, setting patient expectations, setting clinician expectations as well, and can actually then lead to a more judicial use of inpatient rehabilitation. I'd also like to see some changes to the funding models. So
yes,
hospitals are reacting to the way that we pay them.
Yes.
And that makes perfect sense. They're delivering a service that delivers benefits.
Yep.
And the system pays them for doing so. What I'd like to see is some changes to the way that we set up those incentives and some changes to the way we have those funding models aligned, so that they could promote rather than hinder community-based rehab and home-based rehab. And finally, one thing that I'm really big on is just providing more information to patients so that they can really make informed decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it would be great for them to be able to see information around, to have access to a whole range of information around different rates of inpatient rehabilitation across hospitals, what the latest evidence says, and what some of the guidelines say, so that, you know, when they have that discussion prior to their surgery, they can say, actually, no, you know, I have a carer at home, and I don't have any other comorbidities. I actually think I'm a good candidate for being discharged home and
yeah,
having my rehabilitation in the home.
Because, of course, there are candidates, you know, there are patients whose best option is to be inpatient.
Absolutely. So particularly, particularly elderly, particularly frail patients, any patients that have poor or bad complications during the surgery are all specific candidates for inpatient rehabilitation. So
yeah,
we're certainly not suggesting there's not a role for it, but we are suggesting that there's a lesser role for it.
Chris, what's Medibank's stake in this research? I mean, two of your co-authors work for Medibank, and I know in your conflict of interest statement you say that you've been given a consultancy fee from Medibank to this research. Why are they invested in it? Are they looking to get into home, ensuring home rehab? Are you concerned that people may say, oh, this is just another study that's been funded by industry and it's come up with results that is favourable towards their agenda? Do you feel that might be a risk with this research?
I can certainly understand why people might have that perception, but as a health economist and as an external and objective health economist, I don't share that view. And so I take a bigger system view on these type of things, and I think it's really important that insurers today are prudent about what they're funding. So while an insurer pays the bill, they're really acting on behalf of the patient, and indeed they're using their customers' insurance premiums to pay for treatment. So from that point of view, they're really in a position in our really fragmented healthcare system, a unique position, to look across the system and say, well, where are there variations in costs and outcomes, and can we improve that? Why is one hospital having 80% of patients go to inpatient rehabilitation for really high costs versus other hospitals only sending 10%? When we know that it's not the patient factors that are driving that. So from a system perspective, I actually applaud insurers for positioning themselves and acting on behalf of patients, because I think that's where they can really add value within our system.
A lot of our listeners are GPs. Is there a message in this for GPs in terms of how they inform their patients going forward about total knee replacements and how to recover from them?
Yeah, I think there is. And the message is that inpatient rehabilitation shouldn't necessarily be seen as the fait accompli, that there are alternative options that can deliver really good outcomes as well. Of course, if a patient feels that they are particularly vulnerable or have had a complicated surgery, then inpatient rehabilitation is really beneficial. But it's just about being informed and understanding that, you know, there are cost-effective outcomes at the home that patients often find to deliver, a better quality of life as well from not being in the hospital but from being back at home. Appreciate your help with it, Kate.
No worries. Thank you for your time, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.